You're listening to a Radio 1 91 FM podcast.
You're tuned into R1 News at 1. Every weekday from 1 till 2 p.m, our dedicated news team brings you the hard-hitting stories, interviews and culture pieces from across Aotearoa Dunedin.
Good afternoon, you're listening to the R1 News at 1. I'm your host today, Jemima Lorimer, and the date is Tuesday, the 30th of July. I can't believe we're already at the end of another month. It's kind of crazy. Today we've got a pretty jam-packed show. We'll have Frances Pavlicic, the curator of Small Press Fest, coming in to talk about this year's festival and why she's decided to do a festival that revolves all around Small Press. I'm super excited for this. I'm super excited for Small Press Fest, so make sure you stay tuned in to find out all about it. It's happening mid-August from the 16th to 18th. As well as that, Sam Somerville will be giving us this week's sports sweep. And I mean, it's a huge week. The Olympics just kicked off in Paris, so make sure you stay tuned in for that. We'll be kicking that off at around 1:40 p.m. I'll be back with the bulletin in just a moment, but first up, this is Midnight Gallery with Memory.
Here are the R1 News at 1 headlines.
This is the R1 News Bulletin for Tuesday, 30th July. I'm Jemima. In student news, voting is open in the OUSA by-election for a new finance and strategy officer. The two candidates are Daniel Leamy and Joel Tibbs. To find out more about the candidates, you can read their statements with Critic Te Arohi on their website under News. Tomorrow at 12 p.m, there'll also be a by-election forum in MCR to meet the candidates. We'll also be streaming this through our Radio 1 Facebook page. To vote, all students have received a link in an email in their inboxes. Voting closes 4 p.m. on Wednesday tomorrow. In national news, local government minister Simeon Brown confirmed the new Māori ward legislation is due to become law on Wednesday. Under this new amendment, councils that established a Māori ward without referendum have the chance to reverse their decision or hold a binding poll. This means that the council has the capability to remove the Māori ward altogether or poll the community. Polling the community will potentially cost thousands of dollars as a result. To contextualise, a Māori ward is a division of a local council that ensures Māori representation at a local governmental level. In international news, last Thursday an oil tanker ship capsized after taking off from the Philippines' capital city, Manila, as Typhoon Gaimi intensifies monsoon rains, winds and high waves and causes flooding in Manila, RNZ reports. The oil spill has the potential to be the largest in the Philippines' history, with a tanker carrying 1,500 tons of oil. The MT Terranova capsized in Manila Bay, a busy shipping lane with shores that home fishing communities, as well as malls and resorts. The Philippines Coast Guard began work immediately to contain the spill. However, the spill had already stretched several kilometers soon after it sank. 17 crew were on board, 16 were rescued, and one died. Yesterday, Reuters reported the oil spill had reached the shores of the fishing town of Tanza, threatening the health and livelihoods of the community. Speaking to Reuters, fisherman Renan Hosatana said, "This oil spill will have a big effect on us, fishermen, because we rely on the sea and it has been affected by the oil," end quote. Last year, the Philippines also saw an oil spill when an oil tanker carrying 800,000 litres of oil sank off the coast of Oriental Mindoro province that reached nearby fishing villages, coating beaches in black sludge and residents experiencing cramps, vomiting and dizziness. Japan and the US defense chiefs and diplomats have agreed to increase their military cooperation by upgrading the command and control of US forces in Japan and increasing American licensed missile production within Japan. This decision came from Beijing's growing effort to claim the South China Sea. Tensions for the South China Sea have been ever present due to the region being a vital waterway for global trade and rich in resources. Other countries involved in the territory dispute include the Philippines, Vietnam, Malaysia, Indonesia, Brunei, and Taiwan. In local news, Dunedin millionaire Roger Fieldtrail has a goal to provide up to 250 first-time home buyers with $50,000 to $150,000 for deposits on affordable homes he plans to build across the city. Fieldtrail is also establishing the Dunedin Homes Charitable Trust to invite people to apply for improvements like new roofs, double glazing, or heat pumps. Applications for Fuel Trail's home deposits will be done through a form not dissimilar to a mortgage application. This has been the R1 News for Tuesday, 30th July. Today's bulletin was written by Isla Taring and Jemima Lorimer and read to you by Jemima Lorimer.
Those were the headlines for today on R1 News at 1. Catch up on previous R1 News wherever you get your podcasts or head to r1.co.nz/news.
That's right. If you missed any of it, we are always up on Spotify and Apple and just wherever you get your podcasts, or you can go to r1.co.nz and always catch up with the news. Make sure you stay tuned. We'll have Sam Somerville in with his sports sweep later on in the show, but before that and very, very soon after some beautiful music, we'll be joined by Francis Pavlatich to talk about Small Press Fest and why there's a whole festival dedicated to it. It's going to be a really awesome chat and a really awesome weekend when that rolls around. But to tide you over until then, this is Hans Puckett with No Drama. You're listening to Radio 1 and the R1 News at 1. You're listening to Radio 1 and this is the R1 News at 1. We are now joined by Frances Pavlatich. She is the curator of Small Press Fest and runs the local independent bookshop Evening Books located on Princes Street. Small Press Fest runs next month from the 16th to 18th of August, centering indie presses, publications and creators from all across Aotearoa. This year's lineup brings together Deadbird Books, Tender Press, Starling Mag, Aporo, Awa Wahine, The Physics Room, Samoa House Library, DPAG and Emma Neal, and Satellites right here in Otipoti. And across the days, there are readings, writing and poetry workshops, panel discussions, a market day, and a shared meal for writers and anyone interested in writing to attend. Welcome, Francis. It is a really stellar lineup of publications and creatives coming together for this year's Small Press Fest. What drew you to put together this lineup?
So this is the second year. So last year I also ran Small Press Fest, and each year I wanted to do a different lineup. So this year was a little bit of a mixture of me reaching out and people also reaching out to me who had heard about last year's festival and were interested in being a part of it. And this year's lineup probably is a little bit different from last year's one in that there's a lot more sort of archiving and art publishing. So we sort of have Satellites, we have Samoa House Library and the Physics Room, so there's a little bit more of sort of an art angle to this year's one, as well as a bit more of a digital focus, so Starling Mag and Satellites both being online only. But yeah, it was kind of about getting it as broad as possible, so bringing in different indie publications as well as indie online work that potentially people hadn't heard of before, and bringing them into one place for the potential of celebration and collaboration.
Awesome. Yeah, it's a really great lineup and I think it has awesome representation on it. There is a lovely small team behind Small Press Fest, but it is your initiative and you created that first festival last year. Why have you decided to do a festival on Small Press specifically?
Yes, I actually think it was really born out of doing Evening Books. So when I started Evening Books, I really wanted to have a focus on independent publications, small press, Aotearoa work, as well as translated fiction, art books, just a lot of stuff that we weren't seeing down here. And as I sort of started to get in stock, I was for the first time coming face to face with these amazing small publications from around the country. And as I was talking to customers and sort of talking to people who were coming into the bookshop, and they were asking me a lot about them, although I had a little bit of knowledge, I was like, oh, I'm probably not actually the best person to tell you about this text necessarily. The people who create it themselves are the best people. And so it kind of, yeah, was sort of born out of this idea of being like, oh, I would love to get these people down to talk about what they do and why they do it. As well as then being supported, yeah, by the DCC. There's an events grant, and so I applied for that, and that sort of gave me like an ability to actually pull sort of a 3D festival together. But as like a city of literature, I just was like, okay, there's a lot of really cool stuff happening around the country that maybe just doesn't make it down here. And how do we sort of, bring people who might otherwise not, make it down these ways.
Cool. It is, such a treat to have them. Yeah. What are your thoughts on the small press scene in Aotearoa, and have you like seen it change over the last few years?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's incredible. The thing I love about small press and indie press is I think it's a lot more experimental and emerging. So you're seeing kind of work from writers or creatives that maybe wouldn't be able to get their foot in the door somewhere else. So over the last couple of years, there's sort of been, an explosion of more sort of small presses or indie publications coming through. And so one that's recent is Ngā Puka Puka Pika Pika, which is Christchurch based, and they're doing sort of chapbooks. And then there's Aparoa Press from Auckland, who did the Spoiled Fruit anthology. And so you're just seeing sort of more people, I guess, finding a gap or sort of a niche and being like, I'd love to fill that. And I think that's sort of what small press is really good for, is it's not really trying to incorporate everything. It's not trying to incorporate every genre or every sort of type of book. It often has like a really specific lens and potentially audience that it's publishing for. I'm definitely seeing more and more collaboration and work coming through. Like another cool one that is a recent book was a collab of Five Ever did the physical publishing of it, and Jen from Rat World did a lot of the curation around it. But it was an anthology of mixed heritage creatives in Aotearoa, and the book was called Everything That Moves Moves Through Another. And so within the small press community, you're seeing a lot of collaboration, and I think that's also sort of bringing more text that we maybe otherwise wouldn't see.
Yeah, it is, I think, a really, really special space as well. And it's so unique to be able to find yourself in these kinds of books and know that someone else in Aotearoa, you know, someone very close to us is, like, part of that process and part of inspiring you and all that. Is there a highlight on this year's program for you? I'm sorry to, like, make you choose, because there are so many good things on this lineup.
It's actually funny. Yeah, I was thinking about this. I actually kind of love the in-between moments, although I love the schedule and I attended everything last year and I intend to attend everything again this year. I think kind of the nature of the festival, like having the shared dinner and sort of everyone tends to all hang out with each other, I feel like I always look forward to sort of the unexpected conversation or the unexpected collaboration or, the times where, like, the public maybe meets their heroes and maybe gets to sit down and have a meal with them, or it's often like quite across generations and it sort of brings in different people from different sectors of society. So I mean, there's lots of actual events that I'm very, very excited about, but I don't know, I like the in-between moments. Mm. But yes, it is a very exciting lineup. There's a lot of cool things. I am definitely very excited about the Satellites workshop on the Sunday, but I also love, I'm always a big fan of the panel discussion. So on the Saturday evening, we have a panel discussion kind of looking at the politics of small press or the politics of indie publishing. And so that will be a really interesting conversation sort of about, like, why small press, what does it do, and, like, potentially why it is sort of a bit more of a politicised space. So on the Saturday there's a shared dinner and it is open to the public. It'll be veggie buffet style at Yours and it will be Koha. So, if you want to find out more, come along to that.
Awesome. And what else can people do to support Small Press in Aotearoa, as well as Small Press Fest?
Yes. So on this Saturday at the Pioneer Women's Hall on Moiré Place, there'll be the market. So that'll be from 10 till 4, and it will give the public a chance to buy directly from the presses themselves. So in that way, you can support the work that they do. So often when they go through distribution, wholesale distribution into retail spaces, they don't sort of, I guess, make quite as much, whereas if you're buying directly from them, they're sort of, it's always, everyone's got tight margins, so it's a nice way for you to sort of financially support them, but also, yeah, buying their work from independent bookshops, sharing what they're doing. A lot of times the smaller presses are doing call-outs for writers or poets or contributions, exploring all of that. I think also I wanted to do a shout out to Expensive Hobby, which is it's a combination of Katie from Gloria, Sam from Dead Bird Books, and Chris from Compound Press, who is the distributor of a lot of the small press in Aotearoa, and they they've sort of come together to bring, I guess, have a distribution outlet to bring all these books into the retail space. So, like, I would, as Evening Books, buy from them. And so they're a really amazing distribution centre that you should support as much as you can. Any way that you can sort of share or potentially buy their stuff, that's always really, really good for them. Just remembering that, like most people, it's a labour of love, and there's not a lot of money sloshing around. If anything, people are often not getting paid or potentially funding their own things. Just trying to give them as much support as possible. If you also would like to come along to Small Press Fest, there's schedules now at Evening Books and at yours, as well as that you can find the schedule online as well.
And we'll have some in the R1 office after this one, won't we? So
yes.
You can come along to the R1 office and pick some up here as well. Well, thank you so much for your time today and talking about Small Press Fest. I'm super excited, and I hope our listeners are too. You can also find out more about Small Press Fest through the socials, which is Small Press Fest Otipoti, and the website spf23.eveningbooks.nz. We'll be back with Sports Suite with Sam Somerville at 1:40 p.m. But next up for you, we've got John Key's Son's a DJ by one of the poets who'll be down for Small Press Fest doing a reading as well as holding a a panel as Dead Bird Books.
So you've got, on the Friday night, Dominic Hoey will be reading poetry, and then afterwards him and Sam will talk about Dead Bird Books and how they started a press.
Awesome. Yes. Thank you.
Thank you for having me.
So thank you so much for coming on. This is Dominic Hoey with John Key's Sons, a DJ.
R1 News at 1.
That's right, this is the R1 News at 1. I'm your host, Jemima, and right now for you, we've got Sam Somerville and Sports Sweep keeping you updated with the sport news of this week.
This is Radio 1 News. I'm Sam Somerville, hosting your Sports Sweep for the 30th of July. In Olympic news, as of the 29th of July, New Zealand is still yet to win a medal. Dunedin swimmer Erica Fairweather has come the closest so far, narrowly missing out on bronze in the women's 400-metre freestyle. Fairweather was aiming to become the first New Zealander in 72 years to win an Olympic medal in the pool.
Yeah, you know, I might be crying right now, but that does not mean I'm not proud of myself. Getting to the Olympics is a massive achievement in itself, to be an Olympic finalist again. To be fourth in the world, I mean, I really shouldn't be complaining.
The Canadian women's football team have been given a 6-point penalty and their head coach has been banned after being caught using a drone to spy on the New Zealand women's football team before their 2-1 win over the Kiwis. Team Canada have issued an apology with head coach Beverly Priestman saying, "This does not represent the values that our team stands for." The Canadian Olympic Committee have said their staff will undergo mandatory ethics training in the future. French swimmer Léon Marchand has broken Michael Phelps' Olympic record for the men's 400-metre medley with a time just under 4 minutes and 3 seconds. The 22-year-old also holds the world record for the same race, but earned his first gold medal in style on Monday. The New Zealand women's sevens put on a dominant display against China and Canada, winning 43-5 and 33-7 respectively. Michaela Blyde equaled an Olympic record during the game against China, scoring 4 tries in a single game. In motorsport news, the Formula One Championship has had multiple talking points over the last 2 weeks. Oscar Piastri picked up his maiden win last weekend in Hungary after team orders were given by McLaren for British driver Lando Norris to let his teammate past. The radio call stirred controversy online after Norris initially questioned the call, sparking some turmoil amongst the McLaren camp.
"We need you to save more tyres, please, and we do want to let Oscar through."
"We should have boxed them first then, surely, no?"
"Doesn't matter."
"I mean, it does. For me, maybe."
George Russell finished in first place this weekend at the Belgian Grand Prix. However, his celebrations were cut short after being disqualified due to his car being 1.5 kilos underweight. Lewis Hamilton inherited the win, making that his second win this season. There have been more talks surrounding Red Bull driver Sergio Perez's future after another disappointing race this weekend in Belgium. The Mexican driver started in second position on the grid, ending in seventh after George Russell's disqualification. Kiwi reserve driver Liam Lawson and Australian driver Daniel Ricciardo are set to have a time trial session in Italy over the next few weeks, with the faster driver likely to be the favourite candidate to replace Perez at Red Bull. I'm Sam Somerville, and that was your sports suite for the 30th of July. Radio 1.
The R1 News at 1 weather forecast.
That's right, it's the weather forecast. It's a really cold 6 degrees right now in Otifoti, which is just, you know, so nice and so chill. For those expecting snow, it doesn't look like we're going to get it at this stage. However, there are heavy rain warnings in place until 3 p.m. today. There is snow also falling on the Crown Range, as well as, like, between here and central area. So if you're driving from that way, just be careful. This has been the weather.
The R1 News at 1 weather forecast.
And that wraps up our news show for today. It's Tuesday the 30th of July, and I've been your host, Jemima Lorimer. If you want to listen back to the show, you can catch Sam's Sports Sweep again, or you can find out all about Small Press Fest when we had Francis Pavlicic in, as well as some headlines to start off to the show. You can find us wherever you get your podcasts at R1 News. Keep it locked to 91 FM. After this, we'll have Commune 84 with the song Bowling. Keep it locked.
You've been listening to R1 News at 1 here on Te Reo Irirangi Kotahi. The R1 News is uploaded daily wherever you get your podcasts, or head to r1.co.nz/news to get yourself all caught up. Additionally, you can follow R1 News NZ to keep up to date with all our newsworthy happenings.
That was a Radio 1 91 FM podcast. You can find more of them at r1.co.nz/podcast.